I'd like to take just a couple minutes to introduce what we'll be doing in chapel today and tomorrow. The president and I have had a growing burden over a good many years that in today's society, when the whole issues of how we conduct our finances and how we approach and look at debt, it's a growing concern that we all need to be aware of. And obviously, I think we all understand the sacredness of this chapel hour and what we try to accomplish here. So this is not meant to be a business seminar, but we want to take an honest look at Scripture and how the Christians should handle their finances, looking specifically today at the area of financial planning, the area of budgeting, and tomorrow in the area of debt. We want to be biblically based in how we approach it. We don't mean to replace the Holy Spirit. When you look at how much debt should you have when you borrow and you think about coming to school. But the Bible has a lot to say in the area of how we count the cost, how we borrow money. And those are the principles we really want you to prayerfully have an open heart to listen. We've invited today Mr. Mike Buter, tomorrow Mr. Jeff Bryson, two men who have the utmost respect of me on our business faculty. Actually, Mr. Bryson, to age him a little bit, he was my teacher in accounting back in the 80s. And it's always a great thrill for many of us to get to sit under some of our old professors again. But with an open heart, all I ask is that you just keep an open mind. And I want to have just a quick word of prayer as we ask Mr. Buter to come up, that each of us can do that. Because this is an area that it's very easy to hold on to idols. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just ask for thy special blessing today and tomorrow on this chapel hour. Lord, as we try to take an open look at your word and what you have to say about how we plan and manage our finances, how we budget, and how we take on debt, Lord, we have to all understand as Christians, we are stewards, and it's all yours to begin with anyway. May the Holy Spirit minister to each of us here in exactly that area we need to come to a greater understanding and growth in our Christian lives. And we pray for Mr. Buter and Mr. Bryson today and tomorrow. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Almost forgot. Anybody who wants to get today's presentation, which I believe is going to be about 32 slides, it'll be posted on the BJU Internet homepage.
Well, good morning. We're going to talk about money today, talk about budgeting. We're going to have some fun in the process here. So let me ask you a few questions. How many here would like to get married to someone someday? Raise your hand. I mean, it would be okay if it happened. I'm looking for the sixth graders. I'm not sure where they are. But now here's another question. How many would like to get married and live happily ever after? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah. Okay, how many are not, you've already been married, and you would like to live happily ever after? You raise your hands, okay? We've got a few hands around here. Okay, now, that's all kind of fun, but listen to this. 70% of marriage counseling issues involve poor money management. Now, that's sobering. Think about that. A good guy, a good girl, get married, start off with a good home. They don't manage their money well, and Satan uses that as a foothold in their marriage. And other things come into play, and pretty soon their marriage is in shambles. Is this information important to you? The answer is yes. So let's proceed here. We're going to move right along today. We got this much content. We got this much time. So we're going to move kind of quickly, take a few notes. We're going to write down a few things that I think you will like to hang on to here. We're going to start off talking about financial planning. And financial planning is kind of like the wide part of the funnel. We're going to look at a whole lot of things from about 30,000 feet, okay? And then we'll take the funnel and narrow it down as we continue during our time today here. Financial planning, we're going to start off with somebody here. As they start to plan, they're going to identify their values, they're going to set their goals, and then prayerfully develop strategies. Okay, we can spend a lot of time talking about values, goals, strategies, and even tactics. But let's just take off from right here and give some strategies that may come your way. So let's go to somebody who's in their early 20s. This person's in their early 20s, and we want them to, first of all, continue the practice of giving. I want to emphasize the word continue. Okay? We start a habit early in life, and while you're in sixth grade, junior high, high school, college, and graduate school, you are already starting habits. Start the habit of giving now. So I said in your early 20s, continue that practice. Secondly, pay off school loans. You're in your early 20s here. We're on a timeline of life, and we have to pay off the school bills, and we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Jeff Bryson will be our resident, Dave Ramsey tomorrow. Okay, it's going to be good. You're going to enjoy that. Okay, now let's move forward a little bit more here. Begin the habit of saving. Start saving money while you're in your early 20s. Now, three more things I want to talk about here in the early 20s. Begin contributing to a retirement plan. You know, we all think we're not going to grow old, but each one of us here will grow old. It's guaranteed. Begin contributing to a retirement plan. Buy term life insurance. And moving forward here, write a will during these years. So these are six things. These are six milestones to consider during your early 20s. Now, let's take the timeline and let's move forward because we're doing financial planning. Let's go from our early 20s to our middle 20s. And you notice we're already settling down. Doesn't that sound ominous? We're getting older. We're settling down. And here's a few things we're thinking about in our mid-20s. We're invest regularly. Now, we're switching from saving here, putting the money into the bank, to putting money into stocks and bonds. So we're getting into an investment strategy during this time in our life. We move forward here, and we're talking about monitoring spending habits. I'm now 25, and this is the time where I want to start some budgeting. And I will be talking to you about budgeting and how you need to even start budgeting right now to get that habit in place. Next thing here is plan on buying a home. Now, ask yourself, why can I not necessarily buy a home when I'm 25? Well, we just had a whole bunch of school debt. If we're still dealing with school debt, we can't have our school debt and our home loan at the same time. We've got to be paying that off. So right now, at this stage in life, we're talking about buying a home. We're planning, but we're not doing. Now, we're getting older, mid-20s to early 30s, and let's look at some of these points here. First of all, we begin saving for children's college. We buy a home, finally. Continue the retirement contributions. And now we're going to update our will to include our children. Further on the timeline, this is almost what we call creaky old. We're getting really old here. We're in our late 30s. Picture you in your late 30s, can you? Yeah, it's going to happen someday, so we got to do some planning for it. And here's what we do. Continue saving for college. Okay, we got kids. We're saving for their college. We're trading for a larger home as the family grows. So we now have kids. Those kids are getting bigger. We need a bigger house for the bigger kids. Many times that happens to people. Continue retirement contributions. Now, we're going to another age group here. It's people in their 40s and 50s. This group is a category. We call them not old. We call them just right. Okay? People in this age category, if you get anything from the message today, 40s and 50s, just right. Okay. Let's look at some strategies here. In our 40s and 50s, we're paying for college. And theoretically here, our expenses should be falling. Children are now leaving the home. Can you picture yourself here? We're really far out on the horizon, aren't we? We're increasing giving, and we're decreasing life insurance because our children are leaving us and our dependents no longer are dependent. At this point, we're reviewing retirement plans, and we transition now into the 60s. And as we get into the 60s, or increasing church activities. We're getting involved in missions trips, and there's one more thing here, and that's church planting. Think about this for a minute. You're now in your 60s. Can you picture that? And while you're in your 60s, there's a 30-year-old pastor who's starting a church on the West Coast. And that 30-year-old pastor needs somebody mature, somebody with experience to help. What a great time to invest your life in a church plant, missions trips, church activities. Health now at this point in time is a serious issue. And now we're thinking about estate planning. Now, let's transition. We're going to take the funnel now. We've been this wide, and we covered an awful lot of territory. We got you up to retirement age, didn't we? Got you all depressed already. But now, let's move forward a little bit here and talk about household budgeting and some scriptural principles that motivate us to budget. Okay, the first principle here is not to satisfy our flesh. Let's look at this verse together. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Here's what it's saying. Money should not be your God. Do not try to find fulfillment in money. Many years ago, I was in New York City. I was at a place called the Carnegie Deli. I was sitting with three other people. The person sitting alongside me had just earned $12 million in the last year. The person sitting catty-corner from me had a net worth of $40 million. The person sitting directly across from me had a net worth of $110 million. The individual who had a net worth of $110 million was talking, and he said, "Mike," he said, "I've achieved all my goals. I've done everything that I thought was fun." But he says, "I feel so empty." And the point is, the guy sitting next to him and the guy sitting next to me both agreed. And none of these were believers. They agreed that money did not fulfill them. It did not bring fulfillment. That made an impression on me that day. God gives gifts, but we don't worship the gifts. We worship the giver. Second thing that comes to mind is possessions. Hey, what about having fun toys? Are toys fun? Are they nice to have? Sure. Think about some toys. Think about maybe a fast car. Maybe a fast car that's painted Dr. Pepper red. You know, God may allow us to have a nice thing or two, okay? And we can thank God for the gifts, and that's okay. But if we start worshiping the gift instead of the giver, we failed. Does a nice fast car bring fulfillment? The answer is no. It does not. How about a powerful position? You're walking down the hallway and somebody's saying, almost saluting as you walk down the hallway, saying, "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am." A powerful position. Does that bring fulfillment in your life? And the answer is, no, it doesn't. So the question then comes up, what does bring fulfillment? I mean, I'm getting really depressed because the money and the cars and the fancy toys and the high positions are not bringing fulfillment. People, fulfillment comes in Jesus Christ. And let me get really specific. It comes from bringing glory to God. And let me contrast it this way. Let's say somebody comes through my accounting class here at Bob Jones, and they leave my accounting class saying, "Wow, what a cool accounting teacher." Who got the glory? Yeah, me, and not God. But what if they finish up the class and say, "You know, when I started my education here at Bob Jones University, God was here. But, you know, through this little old teacher and this little old teacher, I learned to see God and His greatness. And God's not down here. God is huge. He's everywhere. And I have come to see a magnified Philippians 1 God through my teacher." That brings fulfillment. It does. And that's how God intended us to experience fulfillment, not through our money and things and positions, but by bringing glory to God. Some other verses here that we want to look at. I want to look at here to bring the, meet the needs of our family. But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So budgeting helps us support our family, the needs of our family. Look at the last word there. It says infidel. Infidel is a strong word. We must support our families. Another motive for budgeting here is to bring glory to God, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Another motive for budgeting is to be able to give to other people. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Think about this for a minute. Suppose you had a $20 bill, and you had one of those little sticky notes, and you take your $20 bill, and you put that sticky note on the $20 bill, and you write a little message on that sticky note, and you say, I'm praying for you. Then you find somebody who has a need, and you take that dollar bill, that $20 bill, and that note, you put it in an envelope, and you write their name on the outside of the envelope. And you don't write your name on the outside of the envelope. And you give it to a third party, and you say, hey, deliver it to this person. You deliver that money to that person anonymously. Who gets the glory? God does. God gets the glory. Who doesn't get the glory? You. And that's the way God designed for us to give. Be a giving person. God will fill your heart with joy if you're a giving person. A couple other things here. To be able to support the Lord's work, God has designed the local church to be supported by Christians. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Okay, several scriptures here telling us about budgeting here. And now let's just kind of have some fun with budgets here. And we will talk about here a verse of scripture in Luke chapter 14. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build a tower and was not able to finish the tower. What is this verse teaching us from a business sense? It's teaching us to be proactive. In other words, look ahead. Don't be reactive. Be proactive. So we need to have proactive management of our household finances. Now, specifically, the funnel's getting really narrow now, okay? It was wide before, and now we're getting into very tactical approaches to managing our money. We're giving you tools. Here comes the first tool. We're going to talk about net worth, and then we're going to talk about goals and objectives, and then we're going to give you the means of making a budget. Okay, first of all, we're going to start off with everything we own. Everything we own is called our assets. And then we're going to have another category here called the amounts that we owe. And from the amounts we owe, we're going to subtract our liabilities from our assets to get our net worth. Here's an example. Okay, I can talk all day about what assets are, what liabilities are, but I think you can look up here at the screen and really understand better with a working example of what net worth is. We start off with a house. Let's say we're 5 years from graduation. We bought our first house. That house is worth $125,000. We take out a mortgage on that house, and the mortgage is $100,000. We buy a car here, and this car is worth $15,000, and we borrowed $10,000 to get it. We went and bought another car, and we paid cash for that second car, and it's worth $5,000. And then we got some cash in the bank, $3,000. And last winter, we went out and went skiing and had a great ski trip to Colorado. And then we bought Christmas presents, and we put it all on the Visa. We were bad. Okay? And anyway, we incurred some debt here. And look how this all stacks up. We got $148,000 worth of assets. We got $118,000 worth of liabilities. Now, I want just the smart people to answer this question. If assets minus liabilities equals your net worth, stare at the screen and give me the answer. What is this person's net worth? Say it out loud. Excellent. We got smart people. I'll come to my accounting class, okay? All right, so anyway, we got $30,000. Hey, isn't it nice that it's positive? Yeah, it's positive. Do some people have negative net worth? Yes, we got to start off with this, though, to see what is the position of our net worth. Secondly, we got to ask ourselves some questions. We need an emergency fund. You've heard financial advisors talk to you on the radio and things. They'll always talk about having an emergency fund, and they'll say, save up 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Put that into an emergency savings account. You will need to do this someday. You need to know about it now, but this is what you will do someday. Secondly, you got to have a goal of saying, hey, how much am I going to save from each paycheck? You got to have a goal. We'll talk about this more in just a minute. Thirdly, we're going to limit our debt service to a certain percentage of our income. In other words, we're not going to let debt exceed a certain percentage. Mr. Jeff Bryson is going to talk to you more about this tomorrow. Here's some more goals. This one here says, I need so much money at retirement. In other words, when I retire, I got to have so much money saved up to live like I'm living today. That's an important goal to write down. Even when you're in your 20s. Maintain an appropriate amount of insurance coverage. Okay, so we got several goals and objectives here that we want to focus on here. And let's talk a little bit more now about guidelines for a budget. We want to avoid extremes. We don't want to get too lax or aggressive. We want to keep it simple. And there's a lot of ways we can put budgets together, but I'm going to focus on the last method here. This I have found to be the most useful for people. By the way, I had a college student come up just recently, a couple months ago. He said, you know, I want to get started in budgeting right now. And he did what you're going to see on the next slide. Okay? And he's doing it. Living in Brokenshire Residence Hall right now, he is doing this budget. Talked to somebody on Monday. He said, hey, I got my first job. How in the world am I going to make all my money work here? You can start budgeting right now. So here is your first spreadsheet here. We're in Excel. And we are putting together a worksheet to collect data. Let's assume that we're looking at somebody here that is making a paycheck of their net pay is coming to them twice a month. So on the 15th and the 30th, they're getting a paycheck, and that net pay is $1,000. Okay? And as they sit down and they pay their bills on January 15th, they do their giving, they pay for their gasoline, their car payment, their natural gas, to heat the house, electricity, and so on. In other words, they're paying all these bills, and as they put the amounts in their checkbook or they're doing it electronically, they're also posting those same dollar amounts into these columns. Okay, now, very rapidly, we went through 5 months. We've collected data for January, February, March, April, and May. And we have all the data up here posted from writing checks during those 5 months. Now, focus on two things. First of all, I want you to focus on the fact that we have earned $1,000, and look where this arrow is going right here. In the first column, we have spent a total of $800 right here. See the arrow moving up and down? And that means that we're able to save save $200. Okay, we're able to save $200. Now, in the next period, we're spending $800 right here, and we're able to save $200. Look at this February period. We're able to save $210, and down here, we're able to save $180. Now, remember these numbers. Can you remember numbers? Do you like numbers? Here we go. We're going to save 200, 200, 210, and 180. Can you say those numbers with me for a minute? Here we go. Ready? 200, 200, 210, and 180. We're going to need those in just a minute, so remember that. Now, secondly, go over here and look at this target column. Let me tell you what I did. I added up all five of these columns and divided by five to get an average number going across this worksheet. That becomes my budget target. So now that I got my budget target and I know what my savings numbers are going to be, watch what happens here as we go forward. First of all, let's assume that we're debt-free. If we're debt-free, we can have just a whole lot of fun. Watch this. This is actually exciting. Look over here on this side, on the far right-hand side. And on the far right-hand side, you see 200, 200, 210, and 180. Those numbers sound familiar to you, don't they? And we're going to take our 200, and let's say that I'm with my spouse. And as I'm talking to my spouse, we're looking at this $200 here. And the spouse says, you know, I'd like to have some furniture. And I say, well, I'd like to go to Disney World. So I get $100 for my vacation, and my spouse gets $100 for her furniture. It may not be Disney World. It may not be Disney World. It might be a shotgun or something else that's very necessary. But nonetheless here, we're now having some fun, aren't we? We're saving money. And we got some goals, and as we put our money aside into savings, we're putting it towards goals, and we're seeing our goals actually being accomplished. Let's keep going. Okay, here's another assumption, and this one isn't quite as happy. This one will make you sad. But take a look at this here. Let's say that we got a whole lot of debt, and look right across the top columns here. We got a college loan here that we have to pay off of $5,000. This is a Title IV financial assistance type item. And that's $5,000. We're looking across the screen. The installment loan that we took out is $7,000. We borrowed some money from our parents for $10,000. We got a credit card debt of $8,000. And now we got to come over here to the far right-hand side. And we got to take the 200, the 200, the 210, and the 180. You remember those four numbers, don't you? And we're not putting them into savings. We're not having fun. We're not going to Disney World. Instead, we're paying off debt. And look what we're doing. We're choosing the debt here that has the highest interest rate first. Look at the 18% interest rate on the credit cards. We're going to pay off that first. So we're going to pay on January 15th here where we got $200. We're going to take that. We're going to pay $200 against the credit card. Then, in the next period, we're going to pay another $200, and we're going to make the minimum payments on the college loan, the installment loan, and then whatever's left over goes against that 18%. You say, how come we're not paying off the parents? Well, don't tell the parents this, but they got 0% interest. So we're going to be moving systematically, paying off... Don't get on Facebook and tell them this, okay? But we're going to pay off the high interest rate debt first. That is a debt workout strategy. And if you pay lots of money to get a debt workout someday, this is what they'll tell you to do. You need this schedule. Okay? Now, what do we do with those target numbers? We take the target numbers and we put them into a new worksheet. Remember, we took 5 months of history. We averaged it, came up with target numbers. And that becomes our budget, and that's a budget we believe in because we know where the numbers came from. We didn't take little pie charts and percentages and try to come up with numbers. Instead, we took real-life data, and we're using those average numbers as our target. And now June 15th comes up, and I'm paying my bills for June 15th. I fill in the dollar amounts that I'm writing into my checkbook on June 15th in the June 15th column. I now pay my bills on June 30th. I'm doing the same thing. I get out the checkbook, pay the bills, and I enter the dollar amounts alongside the target column. I can immediately tell if I'm getting out of sync with my target, out of my budget numbers. Folks, we covered a lot. We've talked about tools today, and we're towards the end of our session. But let me just leave you with a verse of Scripture as we wrap up today. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God requires you to be a faithful steward. We're not going to live long. We're only here on earth for a short time. But God says, hey, you're a steward. A steward is a temporary manager. As God allows money and finances into your life, you need to be a good steward of those resources. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the practical nature of your word. And we thank you this morning that we have a redeeming God who died on the cross for our sins and saved us. And Lord, it is from that motivation that we want to be good servants. We want our God to take pleasure even in the way we manage the finances that you allow to come to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.